Just wanted to check. Yes. Okay. Oh, yes, that's better. Thank you. In the Bible passage we read today, we read the verse, "We give great honor to those who endure under suffering," James 5, verse 11. And today, on Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, as we rejoice that the Lord is near, let us remember to hold a prayer in our hearts for our brothers and sisters around the world who face persecution because of their faith. There are 245 million Christians around the world at risk of severe persecution. Christian women are often doubly vulnerable, and they are targeted both on account of their gender as well as their faith. In September 2018, I had the great privilege of travelling to northern Nigeria with Open Doors for an art project, part of a trauma healing program for a group of Christian women, survivors of sexual violence at the hands of militant Fulani herdsmen or the Islamic extremist group Boko Haram. Since the beginning of the Boko Haram insurgency in Nigeria's northeast in 2009, millions have been forced from their homes. Abductions, suicide bombings, and attacks on civilians persist. In recent years, the situation in the north has been exacerbated due to an escalating conflict between the predominantly Muslim Fulani herdsmen against Christian farmers. Both Boko Haram and the Fulani target women as a way to devastate Christian communities. Before I share about my time in northern Nigeria, I have a short video that Open Doors made about a beautiful young woman named Aisha who took part in the art project.
Ranan da dare muna cikin bacci da ni da mai gidana da yara na shine sai muka ji wata mata tana kuka a cikin gidanmu to mun fita shine sai muna kokarin mu gudu shine sai sun zo sun shiga cikin ɗakin mu ce da mai gidana ai za a tafi da shi domin sun ga littafi akan table din shi sai sun ce tun da shi pastor ne za su dauke shi shine sai sun fara duka na so gaskiya kun ya taimake ni sosai a rayuwa ta wanda da bana ina tuna da abun na kan zafin shi sosai amma yanzu ko na tuna abun baya mun zafi kaman da
gaskiya da a ce ban zo wannan bitan ba ban san inda rayuwa na zai kasance ba gaskiya domin zan yi ta zama a cikin damuwa domin ba irin mutane kaman ku waɗanda za su zo su karfafa mana zuciya ko su taimake mu na ji daɗi sosai kuma na gan irin abin da ubangiji yake so ko kuma yake yin tunani a kaina yana so da cewa akwai gurin da na koya akan wannan bitan da muka samu da cewa ubangiji yana nuna mana da cewa shi zai share mana hawaye wata rana dukan irin damuwoyin da muka samu a cikin wannan duniya akwai ranan da zai zo wanda zai share mana hawaye da kuma irin karfafuwa da na samu gaskiya ina ji kaman a ce duk wanda wannan abin ya faru da shi kaman a ce shi ma ya zo wannan bitan domin ya ji domin na san in ya ji wannan abin da muka samu zai samu salama zai kuma samu farin ciki da jin daɗi a cikin rayuwarsa na ji daɗi wanda wannan abin ko ina na kai ba zan taɓa mantawa da shi a rayuwata ba gaskiya na gode
hope was that this art project would help create a safe space for the women to share their stories and begin to process their trauma. By the end of the project, each of the women had created a powerful self-portrait, one of which you can see here. The project is but a drop in the ocean when I think of the trauma that these women have faced. Nevertheless, the simple process of painting their self-portraits helped the women to find their voice and to know their worth, and in some cases, to learn to write their name for the very first time. Above all, the hope was that the women would understand their identity as beloved daughters of God, how they are valued in his eyes, seen and heard by him. Alongside the mornings spent painting together, we had times of singing and prayer and rejoicing, as well as times of sorrow and tears, as when each woman had an opportunity to tell their stories. Most said that they came with heavy hearts because of all that they'd been through. Listening to their courageous stories was heartbreaking, but a great privilege. I was humbled and inspired beyond words by their courage, dignity, and love, and what I can only describe as miracles of grace. Their stories challenge us with their incredible fortitude and resilience, but they are infused with an indomitable hope, a peace that this world and the tribulations of this world cannot destroy. Esther, whose portrait you can see here that I painted, was in Boko Haram captivity for 3.5 years. She was sold as a slave and forced to become the fourth wife of a Boko Haram leader. When this man was killed, Esther and the three other wives took their chance to escape. Esther was 7 months pregnant. After time held in a military camp where she gave birth to her baby Rebecca, she was able to return to her village eventually. But heartbreakingly, her family rejected her and her child, and refused to call her baby Rebecca, instead calling her Boko. Despite the stigma and isolation that Esther and so many survivors are confronted with, Esther still said, "I know God loves me, and I cannot describe all the good things he has done for me." The women said at the end of the project that sharing their stories together helped them to realize for the first time that they were not to blame and did not need to feel ashamed, especially important considering the stigma that they face. Telling our stories helps us to integrate our traumatic memories and gradually begin to heal and reclaim our dignity. Desmond Tutu explained, "It is our shared humanity, our shared losses, and our shared grief that ultimately allow us to reconnect again with the world around us. We are harmed together and we heal together." The purpose of this art project was twofold. It was both therapeutic and also for advocacy, to empower these women's voices to be heard through their self-portraits. And as such, there being a voice for other Christian women in Nigeria who are also doubly vulnerable on account of their faith and their gender. The paintings have been shown in places like Westminster Abbey, Lambeth Palace, Houses of Parliament to give them a voice. And the women have been aware that this was the purpose of the project as well. Because all too often their stories of suffering remain unseen and unheard. Aisha, who was in the video we watched, she said, "I want the world to know I have pain. I have gone through a lot, and many other women in my village are going through a lot, and this is what is happening in my country. They do not have anybody to speak out for them." Following my return from northern Nigeria, I poured my heart into painting these portraits of the women I'd had the great privilege of working with. The process of painting these portraits has been my way to offer a prayer for the women to God. For the portraits, I used sacred imagery and painting techniques from the early Renaissance. For the headdress, you see a precious pigment called lapis lazuli that was only ever used for paintings of the Virgin Mary. And the idea was to create that symbolism of, this is to show the sacred value of these women, that they, and the gold leaf as well, of patterns from the region, was, I hope, to be able to convey this. To also to capture something of the women's extraordinary strength and dignity, as well as hope and restoration, that these women have not been defined by what they have suffered. My life has been enriched above and beyond anything I've been able to give. These women's courageous resilience and deep faith even in the face of violence and persecution, far from leaving me hopeless, have inspired me with hope. In the video we watched, Aisha mentioned the vision of St. John in Revelation 7, verse 16 to 17, where it is written, "Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is a life-transforming, living hope, a hope that no amount of oppression can extinguish. C.S. Lewis wrote, "For if we take the imagery of the scripture seriously, if we believe that God will one day give us the morning star and cause us to put on the splendor of the sun, then we may surmise that both the ancient myths and modern poetry, so false as history, may be very near the truth as prophecy. At present, we are on the outside of the world, the wrong side of the door. We discern the freshness and purity of the morning, but they do not make us fresh and pure. We cannot mingle with the splendors we see, but all the leaves of the New Testament are rustling with the rumor that it will not always be so. Someday, God willing, we shall get in." I remember one of the women charity on our last day together as we left. She said, "I thank God that one day we will meet again in heaven." And these words, they were a great comfort to me when I returned, and I was feeling quite overwhelmed by the stories I'd heard. I remember being in church on that Sunday and just having a picture in my mind's eye of that day when we will all be in heaven and reunited again, and how joyful that reunion will be. Advent is a period of waiting and preparing. While we long for our Lord's return and the renewal of all things, when he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Sorry. He is also at work in the world today, even in places of darkest suffering. Aisha painted golden tears on her portrait as a symbol of God exchanging her mourning for joy and ashes for beauty. On our last day together, the transformation of the women was so visible. They were standing taller and their faces were radiant with joy. Aisha said these beautiful words to me. "I am so overwhelmed with the love and compassion you showed us. I really thank God, for I have seen the love of God. When I go back home, I want to show this love to the people around us. We came here with heavy hearts, but we leave filled with joy, and we ask God to bless you richly. While it seems there's no end to the capacity of humans to hurt one another, there is also no end to the human capacity for healing and to find hope, even in the most hopeless of situations. Is it possible for God to bring good out of our suffering? I think that our pain has the potential to birth, compassion, one of the most beautiful and important gifts that we can bring into this world. Compassion is often born from experience. When you've known deep emotional pain and hurt, you are able to imagine what the pain of the other is like. Their suffering touches you. There is nothing more important than compassion for one another. Prior to these paintings, I had been on my own journey through post-traumatic stress disorder and also depression. Painting has been an important part of my own recovery journey and how I learned to find my voice again. This was one of the key motivations behind these art projects, because I wanted to be able to bring this gift to others. I think we learn from our struggles how to see, hear, and to feel the struggles of others, voiced and unvoiced. We all face troubles of many different forms in life, yet we know deep within us this trouble will not last. While we look forward to an eternity where there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, in Revelation 21, verse 4, the birth of the Christ child also brings a light of hope into our present and troubled world. God meets us here and now. He tenderly ministers his kindness and compassion to us, even through dark times when we are unable to perceive it. And this is often through the hands of others. In Hosea 11, verse 1, it is written, "I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. And sometimes, and it's only when we look back on, in retrospect, on difficult times in our lives that we are able to perceive this. What a privilege it is that God ministers his love and grace to others through us, even often without us even realizing. Mother Teresa said, God is loving the world through you and me and through all those who are his love and compassion in the world. She went on to say, our first great responsibility is to reveal to one another something of God's own love and concern and tenderness. We should radiate the presence of Christ by our compassion. Do we fulfill this responsibility to be God's love and compassion in the world, to our community, in our family? Let us be his presence to others. Paul wrote in Galatians 5 verse 6, the only thing that matters is the faith that expresses itself in love. We trust the little bit of love that we sow now will bear many fruits here in this world and in the world to come. During this season, we recognize the many who face pain, darkness, and challenge, both those who are near and those who are far. And we are thankful to be able to lift a small light of hope and love. In closing, I wonder if you would join me in praying the beautiful daily prayer of Mother Teresa that should be in your new sheets and on the screen as well. Dear Jesus, help me to spread thy fragrance wherever I go. Flood my soul with thy spirit and love. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may be only a radiance of thine. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel thy presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. Amen. Thank you. And just to say, on the side over there, there are packs of postcards of all the paintings with the stories on the back of the women that Open Doors have created as a point for prayer. And there's plenty there for everyone, whoever would like to take one at the end. Thank you.